Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, happy Monday evening, folks, and thanks for tuning in to your show, Raising Expectations, and thanks for being part of our family. We tell you every week because we mean it from our hearts. We count you all as family, and we thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for the things that are happening in your lives because hear from you so often how He is raising your expectations. So, you know, everybody on the Raising Expectations team here, we're all born again, blood bought believers. We believe God is who He says He is. It's really easy. We believe His Son is who He says He is, that He was born to die that we might live, that when we receive Him as our Lord and Savior by simply saying, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I please ask you to forgive me my sins, come into my heart and make me your own. Boy, that's when it begins to happen. That's when your expectation level really starts to go up because you know that you are loved and you know He's there with you and you don't have to have all the answers. He'll give them to you one at a time in the appropriate way at the appropriate time. It's so great to know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So again, thanks for being with us tonight and God bless you. We pray through the next part of the week, which basically is most of the week since today's just Monday. God bless you all through that week and we've got a great blessing for you tonight from God, a very, very special guest. So we're going to move right along tonight. We have a couple of illnesses that are a couple of things that are happening tonight, but we're going to be right on track anyway. I'm going to get right into introducing the team to you like we always do. And sometimes I think maybe I won't do that. And then some of you say, hey, my guests and my friends are tuning in and we sure like it, Joe, when you tell us who the folks are that are on the team. These people bless my life and I know they bless your life. So we're going to start on the West Coast, as you know, out in Lompoc, California, which is near Santa Barbara in the great state of California. Again, someday it will be. I have faith, like I told you. So there in Lompoc, we have Dr. Paul Hall. And Dr. Paul is there in Lompoc. He's a retired pastor. He's a professor. He's a theologian. He's never retired because he helps people and teaches the word everywhere he goes, whenever heart is open. He's been my friend for a long time. And we were in school together. And Paul, how you doing out there?
Good, good. Thanks. Good to see you.
And there will be a rocket tonight, right?
In about 10 minutes, if it's on time. Yeah.
So if Paul starts to shake, folks, it's because they fired a
SpaceX.
That's right. And he's right there near the pad. In fact, they have to get the final okay from Paul. So if we lose him for a second, it'll be all set to go. That's it. So Paul,
do you hear it from your house?
Oh, absolutely. It shakes everything. We're only about 4 miles from the pad, five miles. And so I stand in my backyard and it's amazing. Just amazing.
Wow.
And tonight the booster is supposed to come back down. So we may get a double sonic boom on top of that. So if you hear it, I'll say, wow, there it is. It's exciting. Good times.
We had a couple of texts come into me, Steph, and there were people checking. They thought when they heard that it was the Holy Spirit in Paul.
Yeah, that was it.
Good.
Boom. That's what they thought.
Yeah.
I told you have the right name.
That's right. So if we go back from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast, actually the South part of the East, you know, that's where we have Dr. Craig and, of course, Stephanie Thayer. His wife, Steph, there is a health and wellness coach. She knows everything about that, what you should eat, how you should eat it, and when you should eat it. But we still listen to everything she teaches us because we get fudge at Christmas. And that's an important thing. I know some of you know that. So also, she has a great website. And if you'll turn to our website, bbsradio.com /raising expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You'll find as you scroll up, you'll see more of it later with Steph, the different websites from our people, and you'll be able to read some about the people and their lives and how much they love the Lord and what God's done in their lives. We'll be even updating that pretty soon. So you'll want to go there, and there you'll find Stephanie. And Stephanie has a website also, which is just great, called Live Your Life Out Loud. And she shares and counsels and helps ladies all over the nation. She's got a tremendous testimony, as you know, because you've been family. We've been together, all of us, 5 years now. And she has all kinds of things that help and bless ladies. And they call her and they listen to her because she's their friend. And she really knows the Lord speaking through her to help people so many ways. Live your life outside, excuse me, out loud. You can live your life out loud inside or outside, whatever you want.
I do like outside.
Yeah, you just outside. Live outside. just wanted to expand the horizon tonight for you, Steph. So you can do it any way you want, folks, but make sure you check on that. And then also remember, Dr. Craig is will not be there tonight for a very important reason. As he works, he'll be there in just a bit, but may tune in. But in any event, remember his book. He's a surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon. Those are the surgeons that they talk to as when they really don't know what to do. So he's somebody that his testimony profoundly states, I give God my hands in the scrub room. And I say, Lord, use me somehow to save this life and lead this light to you. So he's a great man of God, a great brother in Christ, and Tank, as we call him, at 6'7" or 6'8", whatever he wants to call him, we call him that. So he'll be back. He's got a new book, and you'll want to check on the website. His book is called Saved. It's a great book. You want to read it. One trauma surgeon's account of the miracle of his life. And I love the little footnote there, finding God in the ordinary. And aren't you thankful God works in the ordinary things of our life, not just supernatural all the time, as we might like to see, but actually in the everyday ordinary things when we say, what now? And he says, listen, I'll show you. He's right there. So you want to get a copy of his book, Craig Thayer, Surgeon Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary Things of Life, which will be in your life also. It's a great read, and it's a life thing. And right above it, you'll find my book, and this is on the third edition here, Legitimate Faith. That's the faith that actually produces what an authentic hope. And as we know, hope in the New Testament speaks of reality and basically assurance in Christ. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. Put your faith in him and watch what he can do with it. So hope you'll get a copy of that. Hope it'll bless your life. And thanks for the words that you shared with me on it. Appreciate the testimonies that have come in. So that's kind of our team. And now Ron, if we went back to the West in Texas, actually South America, the great state of Texas, you'll find Ron Greer. And Pastor Ron tried to come on. He is really not feeling well, folks. In fact, he came on and he didn't have a normal voice. And we love Ron. He's just about the best. He's our favorite pastor there in Texas. Love this guy with all our hearts. And he just doesn't look good. And when we shifted on a break, he has stepped out. He'll be back next week. And so whatever this is, there's a bug going around, something that has really been something. Paul had it, you remember, and I told him it was a sign of extreme intelligence. And now Ron has it. And I've never had it. I don't know what that says, but in any event, we're sure glad that they have it and we're going from there. So we want to introduce you now and get going into our show. We're excited tonight. Many of you know Charles Lingerfeld. We all know Charles, but many of you listening in have said you know him. And he's the editor of the Christian Times magazine, which now, oh, it's over a million something. It goes all over the world. And he had a writer there, and she's a PK. I love it when a pastor's daughter does things like this. And her dad, a great pastor there in the great state of Texas again, who just loves Charles and worked and helped Charles years ago. They're good, good friends. She has written a tremendous book, and it was featured. It's on the back, and you've been reading about it all week. And it's really, really something. And TJ, if you want to show on that now, you can bring that on. We're going to introduce you here in just a moment to Terry. And her book is called, as you know, Train Wreck to Triumph. What a great title. Train Wreck to Triumph, Terry Warner. And this is what God does. Talk about raising expectations. He takes things that you feel at the end of your life and says, no, it's not the end of the line. It's the beginning of the victory train that he has for your life and what is coming. And you'll find it's a book combined with a journal to provide how-to steps and freedom in your life. And you can find right there everything about it and how you can get a copy on it right there. Hey, Steph, what's that thing called again?
A QR code. If you don't know what you're doing, you just take your phone or an iPad, you stick it up there with the camera, and you don't even have to take a picture. It'll focus on that little thing and it brings up that hyperlink and it's amazing. So it'll take you exactly where you want to go. You don't have to type it in or anything.
And it's going to be up. I'll make sure it's up on the website and we'll keep it there. And that's a home run, folks. We've got one of those, and this is awesome that she's got that right there. In this book, you'll find the parts that she had that were written up that Charles wrote. I know it got great responses because it was designed to meet you, as you could see, where you are. And everybody is someplace in life. Many times it's not shared with anybody, because you're in a place that may be painful and may be hurting. Maybe somebody's treated you wrong. Maybe there's been something that's been very difficult. And the only one you could be honest with is God. And you get alone with him, but nobody else really knows sometimes. She starts off with forgiveness. What a great word that is. We all realize that if you put yourself in debtor's prison, you'll stay behind the bars if you don't forgive someone else. That's the only way you get out of it. She has a great section there. We'll be sharing. She's going to be talking with us some here in just a moment. And you'll want to be able to get a copy of this book. And next week, we'll have even more. There is a, and I'm going to get back to it real quick. Here it is. There's some guys you may know, Jason Hewlett, who's the author of The Promise to the One. Sounds incredible. He's in the Speakers Hall of Fame. He's a leadership specialist, an author specialist. This is what he wrote. I like this guy's heart. He said, Terry Warner has created a wonderful book full of insights, vulnerability, and actionable items for anyone looking to turn their train wreck to triumph. If you'll take the time to write in the journal prompts provided for you, it will change your life. Just the section on forgiveness and what is my story truly helped me reconsider personal and professional matters that I had not before. Terry's a master communicator and gives so many gems in this book. It'll lead you to a higher ground and a greater triumph. And like the old hymn says, if you're a senior, do a closer walk with him. Just a closer walk. And that's what it's about. So, Terry, we want to welcome you. We got
Thank
three
you.
tonight, and the rest of us will be, we've been praying for you for a couple of weeks. We're going to give you the round of applause, which is very important. We're known for this. Ready? Go. Welcome to Raising Expectations. That's
Official.
the applause heard around the world. There was a shot. We do the applause. Terry, thanks for being with us tonight. Maybe share a
Thank
little bit
you.
about
Have
your
fun.
background and everything. We're anxious to hear from you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. This is a great honor. When Charles connected us, our first phone call, Pastor Joe was so amazing. And just, I talk in my book, one of my favorite things is the intersection with destiny. I begin the book by talking about a lot of times the delays in life, the dishevels, the trains on the track, all those things that seem like they're keeping us, they're delaying us, they're derailing us. Really, I believe in embracing those with a heart of gratitude and understanding God's plan is bigger. We understand that it's to make sure we're at the right place at the right time. If you've ever had a fender bender, you think, oh gosh, if I hadn't, for women, maybe if I hadn't done my, if I'd gone through that light, not done my lipstick, or if I had not stopped at wherever I stopped, that little fragmentation of time, those little splinters of those moments can decide if we are at the right place, if we're going to be hit. And sometimes that's a great hit, And I have found in life that really embracing those delays and understanding God knows best to assure we're at the right place at the right time at that intersection with destiny. And it's so amazing when you realize that just the even small things in life, one divine connection, one divine, I call it an interruption sometimes of what our plans are, can take us through huge doors. Small keys open big doors. You go to your car and that key is very small compared to that door. So we can't look at those small things. And so I believe we are an intersection with destiny tonight. And I believe those that are watching and listening may find a small nugget that may open a big door for them. And that at first is always healing. It's always transformation. In the book, I talk about train wreck to triumph. We talk about taking, going from trauma to triumph, not kind of limping through life at, to the next intersection, the next place. I'm a coach, I'm a business coach, vision coach, all that. I've taken my own, a company I co-founded with my father. We took that public years and years ago, decades ago. And so I'm very much called to the marketplace, but called to taking life skills and faith-based truths into a place that creates outcome. And you know, I think there's people in trauma don't want to take these big steps sometimes. But when you get desperate enough, I was desperate enough, I would have crawled on broken glass, truly. I even said it out loud to God. I am destroyed. I never thought I would be there. I never thought I would say that. I never thought I would feel utterly, totally empty and undone. But I did. And when I got there, I said, God, if you will show me how to forgive, because it was beyond my mind's idea, my mind's thought. I couldn't put my head around what had happened, the trauma in my life. If you, God, will show me, I will show others. I will crawl on broken glass. I did a CD years ago called Desperate for Destiny, and I think sometimes that's where we have to get. And so in the book, we talk about four components of healing and transformation, living in triumph. One is the train wreck. We have to evaluate, identify, and really understand where we are in it. We have to be accountable, responsible, decide, are we going to be accountable? Are we going to be mature? You know, maturity is, I believe, my estimation of maturity is from the moment of injury to the moment of deliverance or acceptance or healing. How long does it take us to get there? And that kind of thing. And so there's train wreck. And the next thing is then we set up the tracks for transition. People talk about the most important thing in a train, I believe, is the track. Everyone says, oh, it's the engine, it's the fire, and it's the fuel, and it's the dinner car, and all of that. It's the caboose. I believe it's the track. So we set up the tracks for how to forgive in the future, how to embrace forgiving, how to claim what is there for us in scripture, and the life skills to add that into what we're doing. Many times I think we get into scripture, but then we don't understand there's our participation, our choices. Then the third part is transformation, getting back on track. And then the fourth part is making tracks. You know how they used to say, I'm making tracks, meant you were really in the groove. You're really in that zone. You're in momentum. And then the last part of the book, which is a bonus part, is how to create, connect, and commit to your vision. Where are you going to go from now? Because if we don't give people a place to go, their train just keeps kind of going in reverse. And pretty soon they don't realize that they're back in the same mindset, they're back in the same habits, the same thoughts, they're doing the same patterns. And so that's all in there. It's all a part of it. And I'm honored that God gave me this information. And it was what I did to get through a time. And it's what I now speak and promote. And the journal is there for people to get really deep. And I also believe it makes a big difference with symptoms of PTSD, PTS, and of really we're seeing forgiveness and sound sleep and particular habits being reinforced, making a difference. And so we're working with veterans, with first responders, and we're endorsed by those groups that work with them on making a difference. So
Amen.
you may
Amen.
say, well, we're done now. Thank you.
No. I love what you're sharing. I've done quite a bit of executive coaching as well. I spent a lot of this weekend just talking with different friends and family members and stuff, and we were talking about trauma and how the Lord's intention for us is to be in Shalom or Eden, right? That's He created that for us, and we're the silly ones that went and messed it up, and we just have a nature to sin. But what I've noticed is that we often just create structure, we behavior modify, and we put everything in a little box to survive, right? Or we get addicted, we just live in the flesh. We're doing all these things that are outside of the Lord. And really, that true healing that you were kind of talking about, not going backwards, you said something to that effect. It's you cannot do that without the Lord. You
Awesome.
have to partner with him, and he's a God of mercy. He's there all the time, but we're doing it ourselves. And when you do that, the healing that can come and what he has for us, what's on the other side, is so much bigger. And I don't know why I wanted to share that, but you said something that just made me think, it's not bad to have behaviors. I talk to people all the time about do these steps, do these disciplines, they're good for you. But there's so much more than that. And if that's all you're doing, you are going to fail, right? Because it's
That's
just human
true.
nature.
That's true. And I think, Stephanie, I'm so glad you brought this up because I think that it's so true. I concur totally. And the other part of that also is I really believe in trauma, we forget who we are. Even if we've been raised right, we've done right, we've had successes or whatever has happened in our life, we can really forget who we are
Amen.
and whose we are. You
Amen.
know, and I remember being when I was going through my train wreck, and I remember being asleep, and I remember the Holy Spirit waking me up and saying, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are." And just that's a sermon. You know,
Amen.
just that is a life. That nugget, remembering who we are, because I believe sometimes we can forget our, when we're going through those things, our calling, who we are. And then that solidifies our thoughts, our habits, our patterns, and leaning in. There's times that song, Lean In, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, used to be a favorite song of mine. And I really, man, that don't even get me on a tangent of what have we done with our hymns? I mean, I still feel so much connection to the hymns. And I heard this the other day on TV. I was watching yesterday and they started singing that song. And you can just feel how you felt in those times when something was, you needed those arms, in a special way. Thank you for
Through it
sharing.
all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, right? Yeah. Oh,
Oh,
my.
Dallas Holmes.
I'm
Yeah.
wondering if you're willing to share, was there anything surprising that you realized or learned about your pro yourself in this process of coming back on the tracks?
Yes. Yes. Well, I identified with the pattern. I really am a strong believer in coaching, that they talk a lot about patterns, coaching interrupting patterns. And I really believe that's very, very powerful. My pattern was work. I didn't drink, I didn't drug, I didn't do crazy things. I wasn't into all the stuff that people say in testimonies. I went to work. Whenever there was a trauma, a dilemma, a situation, I would go start a new business. I don't even know how many businesses. I just get new business cards. If I had new business cards, they'd say, "Oh, Terry broke up with somebody. Terry had a problem." That kind of thing. But paying attention to my own patterns was I would go into accomplishment. I think my addiction was to accomplishment. To that was my particular drug. And that was fine as long as I was doing from the time I was 13, just a little snippet here. I was, and I'm 71 now, so we know it's been a while. But all my life that I can recall, I worked. I was able to succeed. I mean, amazing success if you look at the dollars and that kind of thing. I just had the anointing for business. That was my thing. And then it worked great until it didn't, until God got tired of me being my own idol. And of work being my idol and what I could do being my idol, when he got tired of that, is my viewpoint, he put a stop to it. And pretty soon, the thing that drove me, the thing that was what I was known for, and what I knew myself for, more importantly, dried up. And I found myself udderless, however you want to say that, in a ship. I felt like sometimes anything I tried from that point for years, it was like taking a deck chair off the Titanic. It's like it's looking better, but it's not working. And I really had to do some very deep soul searching. And during that time, I was abused by a business partner, not physically, but certainly in every way you could imagine, a couple of them. And then a man came in my life, and there was abuse. And then a husband came in my life. So it was just layered on. And I bless so many of those situations. I learned to bless because I learned to heal from areas. God brought me healing in areas where I got perspective on my life. But I would say that would be the. There were certainly other things. I think not paying. They say you learn by your experience. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe you learn from experience. You learn from the experience you pay attention to. And not paying attention, that's why I'm a strong proponent of prayer journaling and prayer coaching. It's in the book, a lot of how I feel about it, and my particular technique on it is a little different. The truths in the book came from my time in prayer journaling. Hours of prayer journaling. My first book, I wrote 2.5 hours. I thought I was prayer journaling and I'd written a book. So I write like a talk really fast. But anyway, it was that was where God showed me myself. And I think that for believers, one thing we do, I did, I believed everything, everyone was like I was. I believed if I wouldn't steal from you, you weren't stealing from me. Even though you kept stealing from me, I still thought you weren't stealing from me. I'm like,
Yes.
I continued to go back to the well for the water that was tainted, for the thing, because there was something it gave me about myself, my identity. And I really believe that learning that most of us are born with the need to hear our own name, our voice, and our calling. And if we have someone that will call our voice and speak to that area in us, many times we will follow the wrong voice.
Amen. Yes. Yeah, that's a good
Does that
point.
answer
Yeah,
somewhat? That was a great answer.
was a great answer. Amen. I can't think of the train going down the tracks like that. And I love old Westerns. I'm a John Wayne hero fan. He was the quarterback at my high school long before
That's
me.
mandatory to be in the ministry. You must be a golfer and love John Wayne.
Yeah,
Is he
right.
really at
Well,
your high school, Joe?
I went out of two. I don't know how to golf very good. I always get the, my ball goes back to the clubhouse when we're supposed to be going that way. But anyway, yeah, the trains, all the Westerns, the famous ones had the train going by, and everybody was, do you remind me? I kept a picture in my mind when you started of running and running, trying to find the handle, trying to jump back on that locomotive, find that handle, and they miss and they fall and they can't get it. And they're riding the horse real fast and they can't catch it and they hit and they fall off. And what a good point. I loved, I think one of those things to identifying ourselves, you said it so well. All of us from junior high, I used to had a sermon on junior high mentality doesn't work over 50. You know, because when you're in junior high, you want to impress every single person in a way that you know they're going to be impressed so that you get blessed. And you know what this girl likes to see you do, and you know this guy likes to have you do this, and this girl that. So you do everything, and pretty soon you're so busy trying to be who you think they want you to be, you have no clue who you are. And then you start praying, and you say, God, who am I? And then you get older, and you get a handle on it, and then pretty soon you become a good pastor in somewhere. And it all depends on how many baptisms, how many this, that, the other, how many buildings, how many this and the other, and. And everybody's grading a scorecard on you everywhere. And pretty soon you're listening once again in a junior high mentality, what everybody's saying. But what is God saying? And you inadvertently, you never would do it on purpose, but you miss it. But then you got in your first thing. I loved your journaling. I cheated. I'm sorry, guys, but I had a copy of this. We'll get you all
Wait.
a
Oh, so
copy.
just so you know, her
Oh,
book
you
is
didn't get the book.
available.
You got the two
It's in the
pages, the six
magazine.
pages, yeah.
So
Charlie, I'll get it to you.
Terry's
So,
book, as soon as we started, I looked, it's on. If you have Kindle Unlimited, you can get it for free right now. And I prefer a real copy. But as you were talking, and I'm a huge prayer journaler, and I'm not a journaler by nature. It's a discipline that I love and has served me very well. And so it's in my Kindle. So I'm going to start reading it so that when we meet next week.
You'll be ready for next
That's
week.
great. And as a heads up, for anyone going and getting on Kindle, they don't allow us to put the pages for the journaling in. So the questions for the journal, which are coaching questions, are there. And then you can go to my website, trainwrecktotriumph.com or terrywarner.com, either one, and you can download journal pages that are just line pages free for you to print off. And then you have that as your book. And I think that's great to just do it that way. And then also you have that journal separate. I always tell people, if you have to hide it between your mattress, in a safe, I mean, under the dog's bed, dig it a hole. Do not let anybody see your journal. That is like the sacred. That's like somebody sneaking in and looking at your prayers. Or, prayer journaling was a catharsis
Yes.
for me. It was, I'll just tell this a couple few points in case someone doesn't know. Is, the first part of prayer journaling, from my perspective, and this is just, but it's my book, so anyway, it's all my perspective, is, to write, to get into a sweet spot of worship, whatever that means. For me, that's Terry McGammon's music for worship. I love worship music, his worship music. I really, everyone has their own. And get into that sweet spot of communications. Bunker your time. Build a hedge around your time. My message on my phone says, "Thank you for calling Terry Warner. I look forward to be as present with you as I'm now being with others. I will check my message at the top of every hour, and you will hear from me soon.
That's
I've got
right.
it off my mind. If you called and you got that message, you know that you're going to hear from me, but not today, not that moment, And so bunker your time. Let people know you have an appointment with the Holy Spirit. You have an appointment with God. This is an appointment that you have set up. I time block prayer journaling. I teach time blocking. So I do that. And so then it's like get in that sweet spot, worship, and then ask God, what would you have me to write? And I always start, Dear Heavenly Father, for me, this is just what I do. And then I purge. I throw out the good, bad, the ugly in a dark pen. I keep two colors pen, good, bad, ugly. What I really think, what I really feel, what I really, I don't say, Thou most holiest goddess, I havest this feelingest. I let it be a communication, And then as the Holy Spirit starts moving, insights from the Holy Spirit, it may be days, it may be a month later, it may be that day, I write in red or I circle in red. And the one thing when we move from place to place, the one thing I take is this trunk of journals. I'll leave anything else, but I don't leave my journals. And that's what wrote the book, the Holy Spirit and the journals. That's what, as I've used in coaching with so many professionals, is prayer journaling. And there's a whole lot more that I put in the book about it as far as building. I used to be in the church building business. And one thing we know is when you demolish a building, when there's been a catastrophe, or when someone's made a decision that you didn't make maybe, but it impacted your life, you that demolish situation, the demolition is the proper term. First thing we do is you clear the debris. First thing you do is you're moving the big chunks. Then you're seeing if it's still connected to the power source. Then you build a foundation for what is to come, not what has been. So the weather, how high the building's going to be, how big the building's going to be, and the terrain. You don't build the same building in Arizona that you build in Pulaski, New York.
That's right, man.
And
Amen.
so that to me is a big part of moving forward, is getting real with ourselves. God already knows it anyway. We're not telling him anything new. But at the same point, it may be new to us. And I will tell you just one last thing about prayer journaling. You got me on my tangent. Is I will say the gift of discernment and prophetic gift grew. Would you say, has that happened for you, Stephanie, that you feel that has grown in that process?
Oh yeah, I feel like if my mind is very easily distracted. So my biggest challenge is sitting down and having that space. This morning there was a beautiful southern storm and that rain just called to me and I sat outside and it was very easy, right? But it's not always like that. And I do find that the more I do that practice of just sitting, and you said something that was really similar to what I do is, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to know about me, about this day? How do you want to use me? Like, let my words be your words. Let my eyes and ears be yours, right? Because my flesh is going to do all kinds of other things, I promise you. And he shows me pictures, honestly. I don't know how else to describe it. And so I'll usually write down what that is. And after I'm done praying, I often get into scripture then. Where is that symbol thing in scripture? And I'm telling you, the word comes off the page and it'll be like some random thing that, So he is always available and he wants to be in relationship with all of us and he speaks in lots of different ways and he wants to meet you
Does.
where you are. But if you're not willing to sit at the table with him, and the reason I started journaling, just so you know, was I heard another ministry person talk about on the hard days, she would look back and just be grateful for very simple things that the Lord had provided. We forget so quickly what God has done for us. And that's actually why I started journaling. And then it completely evolved. I take my prayer journal everywhere. My Bible and my prayer journal, always.
And you made a statement that I'd like to pin into a little bit, distraction. I talk about in my book about when you put the word dis in front of a word, it means to eliminate the power of the next word. So to eliminate traction is distraction. Well, without traction, the train can't move, you can't walk, nothing happens. And just real briefly, I'll share this. I was walking in my bathroom. I'd gotten this big new bathroom and it had the tile floor, and I had sandals on. And I was walking, only a woman would really relate to this maybe, but I was walking and through my bathroom and all of a sudden I'm like wobbling. And I felt like I was supposed to take my shoe off. Took my shoe off, and on the back of it was sand from the beach, was stickiness still from the tag, was back of a hair of a earring, and et cetera. We won't go into detail. And the Lord spoke to me. It was because there was still an adhesive from this tag, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me through my sandal, okay, and said, so from this experience with my sandal, and said, what is the residue still stuck on you? And I'm like, man, I can't even
Carrying
walk through my
around.
bathroom.
Yeah, you're carrying it around. Yeah.
Right. And
That's right.
so with the residue, we attract all the good stuff and all the bad stuff. It doesn't matter. Wherever we step, we take it. And that reminded me of the residue of unforgiveness
Yes, that's what I
keeps
was thinking.
attracting to us the same thing
Yeah, amen.
over and over again. And so that has been, of course, I created a training on it called the 3 R's of restoration: reside, residue, and residual. But anyway, everything's a, you got to be careful what you say to me. It's a new CD. It's a new training.
That's great. That's great. That's the very thing that I was thinking about. And you guys just built this beautiful frame on it. They're jumping to get on the train. And I loved it because I was perusing through all this and I'm thinking, oh, that's really great, Terry. Really great. No wonder Charles liked that. And then all of a sudden, you listed in the beginning forgiveness facts, right? And the forgiveness facts. And I'm looking at this. I've been a pastor for 55 years and we've all preached a million things. Paul's the same way. And the first thing you list on your forgiveness facts, like you're saying right here, of course, you didn't add the sticky shoe, but that's a good one. Put it right in there. It says, forgiveness. And we all get to think, oh, Christians have said to me so many times in my office, well, I forgave and I'm this. And they're feeling really good about themselves. And they're starting to think, well, I can handle all this. They're right back where they were in the train. I can handle this. I can do this, God, because I'm going to get, they're going to forgive. Everything's fine. No, you said forgiveness is the most selfish action you can take. Boom.
And I
That's
get questioned
the
on that. That's the one
one.
thing people bring up. They say, I think you put something wrong in that
Yeah.
book. I
No,
think you may have made a misprint.
tell them. Yeah, tell your thought. That hit me. That was so good. Started your whole chapter off that. Even though a statement sounds backward, to support you in promoting, protecting, possessing your destiny, forgiveness moves your life toward forward and onward, turning your train wreck to triumph. Can you embellish that slightly? Because that is
Oh, I can embellish anything.
No problem.
that's good.
Pretty soon I'll be taking off an offering. But anyway, yes, I think our nature is that we have chosen to forgive. You're so blessed that we were willing to forgive you.
Yes.
We don't say it sometimes, we don't say it, but it's there. And so, what truly, if we understand forgiveness is a selfish act, it is the best thing we can do for us. It may feel unselfish, but the truth is, it's the best thing we can do for us. Because otherwise, we're thinking at night about that person, we're waking up that person, they don't even remember your name, and you're thinking about him, or talking about him, or wondering about him, or whatever. And the other part of it, in scripture, is that when a man murdered or woman murdered, I don't know if they let women have sharp objects in scriptural days, so I don't know. But during that time, whoever murdered whomever, they would be punished by carrying the carcass of that dead person around facing them. So they would have that person facing them and strapped to them, and they would literally get the decay. Would become their body from the decay they created in another. That is the picture of forgiveness, of lack of forgiveness. So when you don't forgive, you're carrying the decay of that person. You're carrying whatever they may have done to you, you're carrying that. And so pretty soon, instead of destiny, you have death, the death of your dreams, the death of your calling, even. I've seen so many amazing people step out of calling over something. And even people with church hurt. I heard an amazing sermon yesterday on church hurt that we don't even understand. Church didn't hurt you, God didn't hurt you, a person hurt you.
It's really
So we embrace that, and I've done it myself. It was not easy being a teenager in the 60s. Like the 1960s, it's a whole different century, or the 70s. It wasn't easy to be at that time, and how, different areas and different situations and relationships. And so that is what it is it's a selfish act. If we understand it's for us, and we need to be the seed, because we will only experience the congruent seed as. Really, the harvest is the exponential experience of the seed. My mother r raised a, my, not my mother, my grandmother raised a prize winner. They would have won prizes, roses. And she adored these roses. And she would never, one time, did I ever see her go out and say, "Oh gosh, I thought that was a pumpkin." She knew she was going to see the harvest of what she planted.
That's right. Beautiful.
So anyway, I believe. There's some things that are kind of backwards in the book because people, first of all, I'm a coach, and we kind of talk backwards. We kind of ask questions that are interrupting the brain tag, or otherwise people will continue to do the same thing and call it, I asked God once, I just shared this, why do people do the same thing over and over? Why do people call less more? And he said to me, the only person in this discussion doing that is you. I don't know if God talks like that to everyone, but he did to me, and he knows how to get through this hard head. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he said, "People in survival don't call less more; they call less enough. People are not looking for more who are in trauma; they're looking for enough
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
because they have to have the small bites anyway."
That's right. I thought that was good. I thought that was good. Used that with someone this past week. And the whole thing came around. That was right. I wanted you to know that. That hit me right up. And I've only read 2 pages, Stephanie. She's probably already ahead of me. But anyway, I saw those two.
I'm gonna start reading it tonight.
There you go.
I
Amen.
love reading, so.
We'll push that. That
Now,
team
Stephanie,
called for
call me
reading.
with any questions, any feedback. I'd love it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
no, I
next
will.
week. Yeah, we'll be ready for that next week too. Well, Paul is up. Paul, it's 46 on the hour. You got something? Paul takes notes. I don't know if I told you, but even back in school, I mean, he's just such a master mental organizer. He's gonna mess with me now, but he really is. And so we're putting together a book, and you'll be in there with all the people over these years and hopefully help push them out even further out. But Paul, you ever had to forgive anybody or yeah,
Oh,
boom.
heavens, no, are you kidding?
No,
I've never harmed anyone nor been harmed by anyone.
as a
Just
pastor for
kidding.
50 years,
You know,
yeah, right.
Lucky person.
I think one of the most difficult things to do is to talk about your train wreck. I think you really have to have implicit and explicit trust in the people with whom you share. And building trust is extremely difficult. When you open your life to another person, you've given them two things. You've given them the most precious gift you can, number one. And number two, you've given them a fierce weapon with which they can destroy you. And I think we have to be really careful. I do want to speak personally, though, in my particular train wreck, and I've had more than one, but in my particular train wreck, and just to describe it very quickly, I had no home to live in. I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. I felt like I disappointed everyone in the world, broken the hearts of those who loved me and cared for me. I found forgiving myself was almost impossible. And I was staying in a gifted motel room in a rundown motel in Southern California, the kind of motel where the cops showed up every night to bust somebody for drug use, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember asking myself, how did I ever get here? Okay. Now, the point of that is that I think God works in incredibly miraculous ways. Even people who don't know him become mouthpieces through which he speaks. And I would spend quite a bit of time talking to the manager of the motel, and he'd been a tunnel rat in Vietnam. He was one of those guys that just gave him a 45 and a flashlight, and he'd crawl back in looking for the Vietnamese, Viet Cong. Anyway, he said to me one night, and he knew a lot about my story through mutual friends. And he looked at me, and he was not a Christian, but he looked at me one night, and I will never forget this. And he said, "You know, Dr. Paul," he said, "I don't know all the ins and outs, but man, you got to get back on the horse. You know, you've got to get back in the saddle. You've got things that God's given you." And here's a non-Christian speaking to me about what God had given me. And he says, "God's given you so many gifts, and you need to get back on the horse, and you need to share." And that was an interesting thing, which led to a move to St. Louis for me. I remember standing in the middle of the street crying. I had no direction, and coming out of that was a really difficult process. So, to you, Terry, very quickly, what do you find that you can do to help people when they are just too worn down and too broken in their own minds and hearts to even want to try anymore? They just don't want to try. It hurts too much. Do you have any insight on that?
You know, that's a tough place, a place for someone to be where there is no hope. You know, and the understanding that I try to bring forward the understanding that everything requires belief, even fear requires that you believe in something negative, even that. So I try to say, if you could trust one more time, if you could just trust one more time, what will it cost you? What is the cost? What could possibly be the cost? And if there were one thing you would choose, if a miracle would happen right now, and one thing, only one thing you could choose that you would choose to prefer to experience, what would it be? And I find if we ask people to trust one more time, and the reason I say that, Paul, is I was at that place. And I went to a church, my dad was with me, and there was a prophetic preacher there, and he called me out of the church, you know, and he said, I don't know you, but I see this almost like a bird's nest on your head where things are whirling around. You're thinking, you're thinking, you're thinking. And he said, I want to ask you, you feel everyone has failed you. You feel the church, everything has failed. If you will trust God one more time, there is a miracle that will take place. All you have to do is trust one more time. And I think saying it in that way is helpful. And then moving forward to just praying for a miracle. And what is keeping people under is it's everybody else. They haven't taken anything to themselves. What is their accountability? What is the one thing? What was the choice? What is one thing? And in doing that, they start, if you were willing to look at anything, what would it be? And I think sometimes in piecing it together, even there's something I talk about in my book that's talk about truth coaching, is a coaching that God, it's what God taught me through coaching and through various things.
Gary, hold that thought a minute. We're going to have to pick up where we were because
Okay.
our time's gone so far, and that is really appreciate that. Paul, we got to put a thumb note down on that one.
Okay.
Look at time-wise, we just got the cue. Steph, can you give a 30-second spot? I know people need to
Yeah.
hear that too, and keep
Carrie, what
this.
was the name of that coaching? I'll write it down for us to talk about next week.
Truth coaching.
Truth coaching. Okay. Yeah, so we're so glad you come and you hang out with us. I want to encourage you guys to go check out our website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. One of the things that I want to highlight tonight actually is that we have amazing guests. We have been so blessed. The Lord is so good in how he connects his kingdom. And when you scroll about halfway down, you can see prior shows and you can actually search by names if you know who it is. But we've just really been blessed with our guests. And you can go back and we have multiple years at this point. Yes, thank you, TJ. And there's information about each of us as co-hosts. You can connect with us directly if you want. And then all the way back up at the top, we have ways that you can donate. And this is a ministry. It takes money to run this ministry. So there's the fancy QR code up there, but there's also a regular donate way. And you can even connect with Pastor Joe in traditional, simple ways if you would like. Money is good in all forms. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it really is. So we just appreciate your giving, your faithful listening. And another great way that you can help us is just sharing. If you have an episode you like, share it with a friend. When you see it live on Pastor Joe's different social medias, share it. That goes a long way, and we appreciate that. Oh, that's Pastor Joe's book, which I don't think he bragged about. Back up.
Oh, that's no
Okay,
way.
Pastor Joe has written a book, Legitimate Faith: Producing Authentic Hope. And his mentor, Zig Ziglar, actually wrote the beginning of it. These guys do not brag about themselves. They're really fantastic. I hope you know that. And so just
Well,
grateful to be a part of it.
thanks. Thank you, Steph,
Amen.
for the kind word. Really appreciate it. Steph, thanks for what you do here. She handles this so well. Terry, God bless you. We can't wait
Thank
for
you.
next week. And
I look
unfortunately,
forward.
you made a connection with us. We have what we call family. I could share with you and your hubby how this works, and we'll get back to you. We're going to have to we have to go off the air right now because where they're sending us from, the shows will be coming in. And we're going to have to cut. God bless you, Terry. God bless your work.
Thank
God
you
bless
so much,
everything
all
you
of
do.
you.
We will be in touch. It's the beginning of a wonderful opportunity to bless you with others, and you bless our audience too. Thank you, ladies and
Thank you
gentlemen.
so much.
You pray
Love
for
you
our all.
all. Take care, Gary.
Already, that's great.
Bye-bye. See you next
Thanks,
week.
Pete. Thanks, Paul.
Okay.
Sorry, Steph. Thank you. Give everybody a hug for us. We'll see you next week, same time. In the
Bye-bye.
meantime,
Take care.
go do a little of talking to God. Write it down. Watch what he could do and review just for you. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.
Yeah, take care.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.